A reading from the book of Joshua. Joshua gathered together all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, summoning their elders, their leaders, their judges, and their officers. When they stood in ranks before God, Joshua addressed all the people. If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve, the gods your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose country you are now dwelling. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. But the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord for the service of other gods. For it was the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, out of the state of slavery. He performed those great miracles before our very eyes and protected us along our entire journey and among the peoples through whom we passed. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of his wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. He himself the Savior of the body. As the church is subordinate to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So also husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one hates his own flesh, but rather nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak in reference to Christ and the church. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
To the Lord.
There's only one good reason to be Catholic. There's only one good reason. It's true. It's true. That's the only reason any of us should be here right now. If it's not true, and if the Catholic Church does not teach everything faithfully according to its Lord and its Savior of Jesus Christ, if that's not what we're doing here, then go home. Seriously. Because nothing about this faith makes sense if it's not true. Nothing. There's no reason. And the world does not want us to believe any of this. It would be so much easier for the world if we would just not believe that this is true. It would be easier for the world. We would go away. We would be quietly at home, minding no business, nobody's business. We would have nothing hard to say to anyone. We would have nothing hard to say about anything that this world holds dear. But we can't bring ourselves to do that. We can't, because it's true. It would be easier for us too, I think. Right? Haven't you thought that sometimes? Man, if only none of this was true, my life would be easier. I'd be able to do what I want. Be honest. That has crossed your mind, because it's crossed mine pretty much every day. It's great. But man, Peter, I think, speaks for all of us. Because Jesus asked them, he shows them the door. He's like, you're not being forced to be here. None of you here tonight are forced to be here. You've chosen to be here and to be with our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And Jesus says to the 12, right? Lots of people have already left. Lots of his disciples, people who dropped their lives and started following him. It says, as a result of this teaching, the teaching of the real presence of Jesus and these other hard things that Jesus was saying, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. They weren't with Jesus anymore. They were doing their own thing. And then Jesus turns to the 12 and he asks them, "Do you also want to leave? Is this too hard for you? Do you just want to give up? Is this not really your thing? Because here's the door. There's a door over there too. There's many doors in the back. You can leave." That's what Jesus said to his closest friends, the men who he had foreordained from all eternity. These are the men he chose, these 12 men. One of them would betray him. He chose these guys to share the gospel to the ends of the earth. And he says, there's the door. You're free. Go for it. Have fun. Try. It's not going to work out for you. But he was willing to take that risk. He was willing to say, you know, I'm not threatened. I know what's true. I know my Father. I know what is good. I've been in the Father's bosom from all eternity. You can't hurt me by walking away because I'm God. That's what Jesus is saying, man. But then Peter has like the best response to all of this. He says, "Master, to whom shall we go? To whom? Where else can we go? There is nowhere else." Because we've come to know, to believe, and we are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. And now that they know Jesus, now that they know who he is, and now that they are convinced of what his identity is, which is God, they would be lying to themselves if they walked out that door. They knew that. And that's why they stuck around. That's the only reason that they stuck around, is because Jesus is true. Joseph Ratzinger, who would later become Pope Benedict XVI, put it in these words: "The fundamental feature of Christian belief is its personal character. At the heart of Christianity, it is not, I believe in something. It's that I believe in someone. I believe in a person. I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And if he's not, then I'm out of here. Then I'm done with the priesthood. This is not worth it if he is not true, if he is not real, if he does not have every right to claim every single inch of my life. There is nothing private from Jesus. There's nothing that I have the right to hold back from him if he is who he says he is. And I've come to believe, and I am convinced, that he is the Holy One of God."